Serving the nation at blogtalkradio.com. This is Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play!
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WWE network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would look at be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still
play. It's unbelievable!
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench in the potatoes?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big and late Wednesday show right here from Santa Monica. Glad to have you with us. Sorry to come on 2 minutes late. My fault. Totally lost track of the time. Hope you managed all right. And hope you're with us tonight. I hope this is a fun program. Not much to discuss tonight. Honestly, seriously, there's nothing going on really of substance other than the fact that there are some Major League Baseball playoff races, and the A's are really playing their way out of this thing. They got their butts kicked today at New York against the Mets. Not good. Not good. Post-Lester for Cespedes trade, they have really hit the skids. But tonight's a little less about sports and more about fun, and we'll be joined by Kevin on the Cape in hour two tonight for our program. So, so what we're going to do is we're just going to do some odds and ends, and I have a story to share with you all as we begin our program tonight. So just give me a second here to type up my little title. There we are. Oh gosh, that doesn't look good. I said Mike Francesa ate a peach, and I wrote Mike Francesa a peach. Oops. There. Okay. Anyway, I have a story to share with you guys right now before we even get into anything else. Kevin on the Cape will join us about a half hour early tonight at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. Two reasons for that. One, it's a slow night. There's really nothing else to talk about unless you want to really get into rules changes or Johnny Manziel not starting, which everybody knew anyway. The other reason is because we did not get a chance to put him on last week when we were doing our college football preview. And as tends to happen, we have so much material to cover on the college football preview that we often don't have enough time for random questions. So to make it up to him, we will have him join us at half past. So that's coming up in our first hour, not our second hour, our first hour tonight at again, 10:30, 7:30 Pacific. So that gives ample time to tell the story of our friend Coach Andrew Jacobson's car. And it was really quite a scene when I was home, minding my own business the entire weekend while my friend was away, my roommate, and he was with family for a long time, about 4 days, in the middle of California, a place called Shaver Lake. And he was there for family reasons. They're relatives. They all got together. And he came back, and his in-laws weren't right behind. But he came back without his car. It was quite a shock when I walked out there, and I saw him standing on the couch, exasperated, not just because he was tired from being out for so long, but because he tells me his car broke down. And I was like, whoa, your car broke down? Your car is newer than my car by a lot. I mean, my car's 20 years old. His car is barely like 5 years old. And so he explains the story. He says he's coming down the freeway. I think it was the 5 freeway, who was in Bakersfield. And suddenly the the engine just quits on him. And he's going like 30 miles an hour, which is impossible on a freeway, especially of great magnitude, like the 5 freeway going down through Bakersfield. And so he was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? All these lights came on. He had to pull over to the side of the road. He was only able to get up to 30 miles an hour because his car was a hybrid, a Nissan, I believe it's a Nissan Altima hybrid. And the car, when you switch to electrical power, you can only go up to 30 miles an hour. So he was going like a slug down that road, and eventually he had to pull over. And he was cruising so well that people didn't even realize that his car was malfunctioning, but it was. So he went off the road, and thankfully, his brother-in-law and his sister and the family, meaning Coach's sister, and the whole family there in the minivan. I'm assuming it's a minivan. I don't really know. But it's probably a minivan. There's 3 kids. So let's say it's a minivan. The minivan's going behind my friend's Altima. And they pull over together. And somehow they get that thing just far enough to make it to the nearby Bakersfield Nissan dealer. Good news for him. But then adding to that, the thing was, because the whole thing just completely died on him, it was hard to judge what it was. Was it an electrical problem? What was it? So he's telling me this whole story while he's watching the Niner game on TV, and they're getting their butt, they're really getting slaughtered by the Broncos, but it is preseason, the Levi Stadium opener, right? But, I mean, this all comes as a shock to me. In the middle of us, I'm just trying to get to the shower so I can get ready to go meet a friend for a steak dinner, and so it really took me by surprise. I was like, wow, I felt bad for him. Like, man, no car, and that really sucks. So he's explaining more about it, and like, yeah, he had to get a rental car, and his brother-in-law helped set him up, made the reservation. That's all pretty good, and they get the rental car. But then, since it's coming from Bakersfield, dropping it back off here in Santa Monica is going to cost much more because it's being dropped at a different location. This is what he mentions to me, our friend Coach Shash, a.k.a. Andrew Jacobson. So it was just a mess. So, like, he was in a really tough spot. And furthermore, we had no idea, since it was Sunday, the car dealership auto repair shop was closed. With everything, you know, out of commission. I mean, that's the worst day for a car to break down, right? A Sunday, because everything's closed. But at the same time, I told him, like, when he told me this, I said the same thing. I said this: boy, what a stroke of luck that your car broke down at Bakersfield, because you could have been broken. You could have broken down in the middle of nothing, in the middle of cow pasture on the 5 freeway in somewhere between one mountain range and another. That's not good. There's nothing, not even a gas station or a stop or a restaurant or anything of that for miles and miles in either direction. That would have been brutal. You'd have had to call in a tow truck, and that would have been an additional cost. Here, at least it was in good enough shape where, number one, he was in his town, and he was able to at least get it far enough on his own power, on the car's own power, to get to a dealer so that it could get fixed. So the suspense starts. The car is there. He has a rental car here in town in Santa Monica. And the question was, how is he going to get his car back? So he had to work all of that out on Monday morning. Very strange situation. Well, Monday morning comes and goes. I get the update from our friend Andrew. He says to me that it looks like the guy that was supposed that specializes in electronic parts for hybrid cars is actually a hybrid technician that specializes just in the hybrid vehicles, and it's like one guy at the Nissan dealer. That guy was not in today. That was bad luck. So even though the dealership was open, the guy that actually works on hybrid cars was not there because it wasn't his day. It was his day off. He doesn't work. His shifts are start on Tuesday. That's another tough situation. So I said to my friend, okay, well, why don't we just go ahead? Why don't I go ahead and give you a ride to work on the days in between while we wait for your car? And he's like, yeah, I think let's go ahead and do that. So he was smart enough to take the parking passes from his old car, you know, his parking pass for UCLA. We both worked there, so it's not a big deal. So I said, all right, well, I'll borrow your pass, and then I'll just give you a ride, like, you know, as long as you need the ride. And that was the arrangement. So we still had the status of the car in limbo as of Tuesday. But at least in that situation, he was able to get to work. You know what he did? Like, he actually went to work for a half day on Monday, and he took a bus. And that cracked me up, because he does not take buses. He's never – he doesn't ride – I mean, this is might have been the first time he ever rode a bus in Santa Monica. So it was a total surprise to him. He's not a bus rider. So it was a lot of stuff he still had to get used to. And that was a hoot. I was really explaining to him how the bus system worked, like what times they come in and all that, how much it costs. And he had to get some quarters. It was really it's not the sort of thing that you think of when when you spend most of your time driving to work. So that first day, stepping back a little bit to Monday, I went over to help him get home on the bus. And so, you know, I told him, okay, so you can get on the 450 bus to get home when you're done with work, and I'll go ahead and join you this time. And so he's like, yeah, okay, great. So then I leave work and I get to the bus stop, and he's already there. And I'm like, how long have you been waiting here? He was like, you've been there for like 10 minutes. Like, yeah, so he said, yeah, he just wanted to make absolutely sure he made the bus. He didn't want to take any chances. So I get it. Okay. But yeah, he was really early. Like, he really didn't have any shot of missing a bus. He spent a lot of time there without having to be there. But I was there afterwards, and by then it was time to bout right. The bus came, and then we joined it, and we rode it home. So it presented an interesting situation, because I didn't want to talk too much on the bus, because I know how annoying it is when other people talk on and on the phone or with other people. So I wanted to kind of tone it down, but he was asking questions and things, so we talked a little. And so we just talked basically the whole ride, and it was fine. But I mean, I was thinking the whole time, oh man, I don't want to get out of hand with this, like, because I think if you talk too much, it might just get people nuts. But at the same time, people were listening to stuff on their headphones, so it wasn't too bad. But that was a fun bus ride anyway. The next day I said, yeah, let me offer you the ride. You could take the bus. We have different schedules at work. Like, he comes in later than I do, and I leave later than he does, if that makes any sense. Yeah, that makes no sense, right? Like, why is he leaving earlier? Don't ask! It's not a corporate environment. Just, it's different. But anyway, the two of them... I don't even know how much of this I'm really authorized to tell. But anyway, so I offered him a ride for Tuesday, and he was very happy and gracious and very kind and very thankful for the ride. So I drove him to work, and the payoff in my case is that I don't have to take the bus, and I can get to work I can guarantee to get to work at a reasonable time. I'm not at the will of late morning traffic or anything, any of that. So we get there, and it works out fine. And I was a little worried about that, because I know he tends to leave the house later, but he said, yeah, I'll leave at 7:30 this time. It's like, this is good. This is good. Because I said, 1 minute after 7:30, you are really taking your chances on the roads. You are really taking your chances, because it gets really stuffy on the Wilshire corridor going into UCLA. But this time around, it was fine, because we left at 7:30. It was just fine. It was just right. If I could, I could even leave earlier. In many cases, I would. But you know, I also wanted to accommodate his schedule, and he did move everything that he normally does up a few minutes so that we could leave at the same – so we could both leave at the same time. And it worked out great. So we got there, and we weren't late for work at all. We were right on time. It was perfect. It was, in fact, perfect. People say that something's perfect, and it's not really perfect, but it was perfect. It was like 5 minutes before the hour. And that's exactly when you would, if there was an ideal time to be at work, it's not 8 o'clock. Because then, you know, turning on your computer and starting up the music and all that, that takes like 5 minutes. You want that all figured out by 8. So five to the hour would technically be the ideal time to get to work. I like to get to work even earlier than that. But those are for reasons that maybe I'll explain at another date. Anyway, it worked out well. So then getting home was the same idea. He had to wait a little longer for me because I had to work a window shift, so to speak. A help desk shift is specifically what we call it. And when you do that, that means you're in the main office, which means you can't really, you can't change around your schedule. You got to leave it exactly five. So I did, and he knew that, and it was fine. So we went home, and it was no big, it was fine. Like driving there was all right. So we did it again today after he found out that the car was fixed and it's ready for pickup, but it's in Bakersfield. And to give you an idea where Bakersfield is, you are talking about 2 hours of driving between here and there. It does. Seriously, it's like 100 miles away. So it's not, we couldn't just go, okay, let's go to Bakersfield after work and pick it up. It wasn't really going to work that way. So what was going to happen was someone was going to come over and bring the car. Like a family was going to bring the car on, because they were still up north, like in the middle of California. They would have come down, and one of them would have picked up the car and driven it down to Southern California, right? So that was the idea. But then apparently the family in their northern residence, the family in question, had a cable / networking appointment, and because of that they couldn't just go on Thursday. So it's actually my friend's car is still going to be there in Bakersfield all the way through the weekend now. So that's really too bad. But at least from his point of view, it's not terrible, because again, we have the luxury of the parking pass, so that I can just give him a ride. So I'm going to keep giving him rides to work and back each day until the weekend, and then finally the car will arrive. So that's the good news. So the car is fine. It is going to arrive back in one piece. What happened was, you're not going to believe this. You believe this? Oh, you will not believe this. You know what really happened? His car ran out of gas. Seriously, that was all it was. Like, it was, all the lights went out because he ran out of gas. Like, it was on E, and he was saying that if he got it a little bit below E, you'd still be fine on regular cars. But since, I don't know, maybe it's a hybrid, it's a little different. But like, and I told him, why would you take the chance? Why would you take the chance in that? I mean, E means empty. That's like, if it's even like at a quarter before E, that's like time to go. But it's time to go, especially if you're driving in the middle of the open road. Put the gas in the car. And it was interesting because, like, it was hard to tell with a hybrid vehicle because of all the weird lights and things that you see. It didn't really indicate. This is where the problem was. The car never indicated that it was either low or out of fuel. It's just that the needle was on the E. That was it. There was no gas symbol or any of that. So it was actually a little bit of negligence on the car's operational features. Because you're supposed to get like gas low or danger low fuel or 2 gallons remaining or something like that. 2 miles left. All the new cars do this thing, like where they give you, like, you know, you have 250 miles left on your gas tank. That's great. I mean, it's a tangible reading. They give you the actual estimation in terms of miles. That's perfect. That's wonderful. But this car did not have, as technologically advanced as it was, it did not have the tool to actually give that information. So yeah, he was blindsided. Let's face facts. He was a little blindsided with that gas, but he's still. I mean, you get that thing to E. You no matter what you do, you are taking your chances with the car. So ultimately, that was all it was. So he paid, you know, not a lot of money. It was way less than $500. We thought that it could have been like $2,000 or $3,000 or something really bad. But all they needed to do was fill up the gas tank and run some diagnostic tests, and that was it. So would you believe it? I mean, we would thought that maybe the car was gone, and all it was gas. It just ran out of gas. It was that simple. So, lesson learned. And I know, I'm like, so the thing of being on E didn't indicate that you might have been out of gas, but he was like all the lights. And so, you know, you're getting to panic and things like that will happen. All is well that ends well. He's just going to have to get rides to work from his friend Dave in the city for the next couple days. And after that, I think the car will be back and we'll be back to normal life. It's a good deal. It does mean I can't go to the morning swims. I don't think I would have gone to them anyway. I've been having a tough time getting up early enough to go to the morning Masters practices lately. But nonetheless, it's all good. And I'm just happy that he's safe. And I'm happy that the car is in good shape. And I'm happy it didn't cost him that much. That would be... I never root for that. I don't want anyone to have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for a car repair. That would really just be quite terrible. So, what a story. What a day. And what a way to start our program tonight. Really, that's about all I wanted to talk about. And I do want to talk about the A's. I am a little concerned about the Athletics. I'm just reading some tweets right now. Oh, man. Reaction to the late start this evening. But anyway, the A's really had the best of intentions going after one of the best pitchers in the game, John Lester from the Boston Red Sox. And the thing is, it was a risk. And it was a risk because they were going to get rid of easily the best bat in their lineup, Yoenis Cespedes. And he's good. Very good. Dumping him from the lineup. I'm still laughing at the tweets. But dumping him from the lineup was a huge blow to a team that was not really that balanced offensively. I mean, people would say, oh, their offense is great. But it all, to me, it seemed like it all fed off of Yoenis Cespedes because he was a great all-around hitter and had good speed too. Man, that sucks because since that time, the A's lost seven of eight games and lost another game today. With the losing pitcher coming from another trade, which I loved, the Jeff Samardzija trade, I think was terrific. They gave up a lot of prospects in this arrangement with the Chicago Cubs, but Samardzija's good. He's a dang good pitcher, but not today. Oh my goodness! I mean, the Mets were teeing off of this guy, and it was really just getting just kind of silly after a while. That was a real shame. It really was. So. Now, I think the A's finally got some of those runs back, but the final score was still 8-5 in favor of the New York Mets today. Samardzija, again, got lit up. I'll look at the box score to see exactly what the total was. I really had high hopes for him, but it's just been tough. And Lester, I don't think he's been pitching horrendously, but he hasn't been the lockdown guy, perhaps, that they've been looking for. Really, to me, the problem with the A's has been offense. So, yeah, Samardzija, oh boy, seven earned runs today off of seven hits, two walks, two home runs allowed. Unbelievable. That's not a good performance by any means or measure. Holy Moses. Yeah, that was bad. So, they're fighting it. I think if the A's could have a chance to salvage the series against the Mets tomorrow, but man, they are struggling. Or unless that's the end of the series. Oh, that is the end of the series. Oh, that is it. That was just the two game series. Oh boy, because the Angels took over first place in the AL West, and things are just falling apart for the A's. But the good news for the A's, if there is good news, they will play Anaheim tomorrow at the Coliseum with a chance to get back in this thing. If they win the series, then they will be back and they'll be back in reasonable shape, and they'll have a good position to take the division lead again. After that series, they play the woeful, dreadful Houston Astros. They can make it back, but it does stand to reason to question what's going on with them lately. And again, their offense is not there. Let me give you the run totals in all their games going back to August the 10th. They had a 6-1 loss against the Twins. They lost 3-2 against the Royals, so one run and two runs. They did win one game 11-3, But then they followed that with 0 runs, 3 runs, 2 runs, 3 runs, and 3 runs again in a game that they did not win. And that led up to the 7 of 8 losses. The Mets series was next. They won the first game 6-2, but then they lost the last game, which was today, 8-5. You know, any way you slice it, they're not doing very well. And over the last 2 weeks, what they thought was going to be a springboard to taking over the division winds up being a really tough series of losses. And now they're in a bit of a tailspin. But again, as you mentioned, they aren't out of it yet. They lost the division lead, which after leading the whole year, that's a pretty shocking development. However, I will say that even though they've led the whole year and even though they've had at times the best record in the American League, they weren't leading that by very much. They were always leading by maybe 2 or 3 against the Angels. Well, now the Angels have a 1-game lead, and I think they did the best they could with this, but that loss today was bad. We'll see if they can recover this weekend against Anaheim, and they're going to need it. They need to win the series, I think, because just for their psyche, they look bad. They really look awful, and their offense is just not there for them like it had been over the year. Maybe it was never there for them, but this is just not good. I mean, they're 2-8 in their last 10, and seriously, they need some help. They got to get that thing going. But they also are very good at home, so we will see if they can continue, if they can get back on track here. So we'll take a quick break on the program. When we return, Kevin on the Cape, random questions. Stay tuned. This is Dave in the City. In the City, Locks of the Week Radio at 7:30, and it's time for America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting.
To the dance! It's time for random questions.
Good stuff!
In the City with Kevin on the Cape.
Here we go, back at it. Kevin on the Cape now joins us here in the city. Kevin, welcome back to the show. How's it going tonight?
Sounds like you just replaced the copyrighted music with your little 8-year-old Casio keyboard playing little licks, and that was really weird. What was that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I looked up royalty-free music, And
nice.
I you know, we're going to cover our bases this time, so.
Let me ask you a question, as a
sure.
You being the radio man, how much is the, are the are royalties? If you played a song, let's just say a relatively famous song.
Right.
I don't know. Let's say pretty famous, like Allentown or something, like Billy Joel song that everybody
Ooh.
Knows. How much would you have to play?
To play it once. You know, that's a question that I have a music licensing person that I am friends with. I could ask her this question, but I think my ballpark figure would be somewhere around $5,000 to play it once.
Just to play it one time?
I think it depends on a lot of things. It depends on the platform, like if you play it over the internet here on YouTube, or if you play it, if you play the thing over. If you play it on TV or if you do use it on the radio, like it's a really good question because I don't have a concrete answer because they say that it's different rates for all of those. Like TV, national TV show, it's going to be a whole lot. Like you're talking about maybe thousands, maybe even way more than thousands for a particular program. So do you know what I mean?
So they don't just say how many listeners you have, and they judge it by that. It's like a flat fee.
No, there's a little bit of that too, though, which is that's part of it as well. So it's the platform and the number of listeners that you broadcast. It's mostly that, actually. You actually hit it on the head. I know that with jingles, like radio jingles, they're specifically designed for radio stations to broadcast that
right.
out. Like to buy one jingle to put over a radio station that's medium size. Let's say like a Santa Barbara station. So it's about 100,000 people. That would cost about maybe like $400 to $500 to do a single jingle.
Right, but then usually like the station owns it, right? They just pay for it.
Right, exactly.
Like you could get someone who knows how to play the guitar and sing and pay them $200 and say, make my songs, but then you would own them for your show. It would be like a one-time thing.
Pretty much. Like you license it. They apparently there are renewals, but I don't think that's very strictly enforced. Basically, it's the $5,000 fee, and if they create it specifically for your show, like because there's two different types of jingles. It's like jingles where they redo the words to the song, but the same music, you know, from another station
right.
is used. Then that's like what I quoted, like $500. But if they're gonna do a custom package, there is no per jingle cost to that necessarily. It's just like one giant budget, and the budget could be anywhere from like $20,000 to $50,000. It probably in today's dollars would probably be more like anywhere close to like $50,000 or maybe even $100,000 to do.
How much do you think they paid for the Joan Evans song?
That's a great question. So that's a one jingle that they did, and I'm sure they have mix outs of it. They have like short versions that you don't hear on the air, but they always do these just in case you want to mix it up and use it in a quick promo. But the Joan Evans promo. To do that one-off, I mean, I think it could have cost anywhere from scratch, right? Yeah, that was done from scratch for WFAN. I could just ask
right.
the company because they would know this, but it probably would have been like $700 to $1,000 to do that. Maybe
oh, wow.
even
okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking way more.
I was thinking, you know, that's true. Like, I think that maybe it would actually, to be fair, I'm thinking of a reason. No, you know what? It might have been like, you know, like maybe like $5,000 to do it from scratch. Because this is done from scratch. I keep thinking of like the re-sing. But if they do it from scratch, I'm thinking like, you know, at least 5,000, like 1,000 to $5,000 to do that. Because it's their song. So there's a reason why like radio stations are always like skimping on the jingles. Because it's just, it's expensive. Especially if you do them from, do them original. Instead of just like borrowing like somebody else's jingles and then using your words instead. So I think that, I mean, because it's one jingle. But I have to say this, bear in mind, when that jingle came out, I really don't think that was the only jingle used, because remember, it came out at the same time as all those other jingles did, like the one for the top of the hour, the new theme and all that stuff, you know, the 2020. They did like all of that together. So I think ultimately you're talking about a budget of about $50,000, maybe even $100,000 for the jingles in total. And that's how they rate it. Like, they rate the entire project as one thing. And the Joe and Evan jingle is part of that. So if I don't know how many actual jingles there are, I'm going to estimate maybe like 8 to 10 of them. Say it was 10. And if the budget was $50,000, then I would say that the one jingle for the Joe and Evan show was like $5,000.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you're paying people per hour, so they probably just said,
yeah.
Pay your people for a week, we want this many things, and cut you a check. Yeah, you're probably right. It probably was under the umbrella of the entire radio station. It probably wasn't one specific thing, but they wanted it. Shows for different things and that kind of stuff. It's pretty wild. Voiceover people, jingle people, there's a lot of stuff goes into making these things.
Oh, definitely. And that's actually true. This also applies to the voiceovers. And now, I was very, very fortunate in that we had one of the world's greatest voices do a voiceover for us. And that's just amazing. I mean, the preeminent voice in sports says, hey, let me just do one for free. Because it was very easy. Like, I just gave him like a line. And he just said, yeah, let me just do it. What? No. He is a preeminent voice in sports, no doubt about it. But I'm speaking of course, the ESPN radios I'm speaking of Jim Cutler, who does the promos for ESPN radio. And he did.
Awesome.
That is amazing. Yeah, the guy is a cool cat. And so he did. He just
said. The guy who says, now it's time for me to see.
Yeah, that's the guy. That is the man. So
that guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a great voice. I really am a fan. He's on so many stations. I mean, it is really impressive. So, if you guys have ever wondered what that sounds like by itself, I have that. I have the audio for you. I've always keep like different copies of everything. Let's see if I've got it dry. I have it dry. I should have it dry. I really should have this dry, because like this is. Well, let's keep talking, and I'll grab it in just a little bit. But yeah, this is the jingle and radio business is definitely a lot of fun, and there's a lot that goes into it. And cutting a promo only sounds easy, but it's I'm sure there's a lot of work that goes into it, because it's not just like reading a sentence. You have to read the sentence with the right amount of emotion in the right spots. So it even though like you said, let's say that he gave you like a line. Like one line, like, come to Max Seafood for today's great clam bake special. That's an easy sentence, but then people try to make that, okay, so what is this for? This is for a seafood restaurant. Okay, what kind of a voice do you want? You want like a folksy voice? Come to Max Seafood for today's clam bake special. Or do you want the serious voice, the exciting voice, the car dealership voice? Come to Max Seafood, whatever. I'm not good at these things, but they use a big voice. Come to Max Seafood for today's clam bake special, or do you want that sort of attitude voice, like Jack FM is like, well, come to Max Seafood for today's seafood special if you care, like that. There's the different ways to say the same sentence.
Wow, I think you might have a new career on your hands. That's good.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. And many people people have mentioned that, and I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Let's see if I got this now. Let's see if I got this in the clear. Okay, so here's what the voice sounds like without the music and everything. Let's listen.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City. Brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio.
No. That's pretty good. That is
that's awesome.
That's greatness right there.
Yeah, that is greatness. Screw Vince Scully. That guy's awesome.
He would be the Vince Scully of promos, I must say, because I hear him everywhere.
I think so.
I mean, I think he even does the promo. You hear his voice on EEI, or you did you not?
I don't know. It doesn't stick out in my brain.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's on everywhere, though. I mean, I'm sure if you haven't, you probably will at some point. He's been on NBC Sports Network back when it was Versus, and even now, and other stations, so it's pretty cool. So it definitely was an honor, especially to get it for no charge. I'm like, wow, you did not have to do that. And so that was really cool. he just definitely is a
Maybe here's my theory. Maybe he was like you back in the day. He was doing things like you do, and he maybe had a college show, and so he probably maybe carved some time out, you know, in his week to help guys out like you, because maybe that's what he was back in the day.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. You know, I mean, I think everyone can appreciate a good situation like that, and so that's pretty neat.
He probably tells his agent, listen, you know, Thursday afternoon I do free stuff for younger guys trying to get into the business, so leave me alone, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. No question about it. So let's just keep on chatting. We do have some other things to converse about tonight, but for those of you listening, please tweet your random questions to @DitCow. Any question you want, let us know.
Yes, do not tweet them to me because I don't have a tweeter.
Yeah, that does nothing. That does nothing for Junkie. So yeah, tweet them to @DitCow, and we'll read them in order through the rest of the next hour and 15 minutes. It'll be a long, extended random questions tonight. You can also chat with us at blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity to ask the question that way. Just be sure to write the word question followed by the question itself there, so that it does not get lost in the other chat content. All right, great. So, hope you're having fun tonight.
Or you can even call in.
That is correct. You can call at 424. Yeah, 258-9251. We have taken some phone call random questions in the past, so we'd be happy to hear your voice tonight. 424-258-9251. If you have a call-in question for us. So, we are here to serve you. Join us, if you will. It'll be a good time. So, as usual, we usually kick around our own random questions. I mean, I don't really have anything much on my mind except... I had this idea to eat make a cookie hamburger. And I know, that sounds disgusting, right? Well, it is. But, so basically, you're taking two giant cookies and you're putting a hamburger patty in the middle. And I said, that's going to be my idea. And I'll add a slice of cheese, and it'll be the cookie cheeseburger. It's not smart, I know, but it was on my mind. Do you think anyone would eat that? I mean, we had the Dave hot dog last week. No? Not into it?
Right, and I actually mentioned the Dave hot dog to the friend that I told you about, the customer of mine.
Oh, yeah?
He thought it was a great idea, but, you know, he wasn't really sure where it was going to fit in. He's doing some sort of vegan thing now, which sort of was silly. He's some sort of restaurant chain or something.
Right.
So the Dave hot dog and his vegan idea, we didn't meet up. He wanted to talk about bean sprouts and bean burgers, and I wanted to talk about a bacon wrapped Dave hot dog with peaches. So we didn't really match up.
No, it's a tough sell for a vegan. Yeah, I mean, it's not vegan. There's nothing about it that's vegan at all. Not even close to vegan. But, you know, there's a way I could make that hot dog work. My strategy would be to take the hot dog, to order a bacon-wrapped hot dog with the mustard. And I don't know, we wouldn't put mustard necessarily on it, but you could. We'll get the bacon-wrapped hot dog anyway in the steam bun. And then we would assess the steamed. I would bring it home, and then I would assess the baked peaches. That's where we would start to cook. And so I'll run that down and see if I can get that going and see what it tastes like. And it should taste really good, though. I love it. The Dave dog.
My phone, or are you talking too close to your microphone? Because you just broke up there.
I think that might be me, because I don't know. I might be talking. I may have talked a little
Sounds
too
clear.
No. Okay, it does, yeah. No, I think that was me, because I was talking too close to the microphone at that time.
You were getting a little excited because of the Dave dog.
Yeah, I was. No doubt. I was indeed getting excited, Junkran. And so that's a pretty cool
idea.
Well,
just if I start breaking up, just tell me, because then,
okay.
You know, because I do live in the middle of the swamp. But right. I had a sense that you were excited and talking too close to the microphone.
Okay, no, I think that's good advice. I'll do that, because that's bound to happen when you speak about.
Yeah,
things.
We don't want to have broken up air for the next hour. That'd be a terrible show.
No question. So again, if you have a question for us for the Dave in the City podcast at DidCal, and you can feel free to ask the ask anything you'd like. Well, meanwhile, I'll check these chat room and see if there's anything going on. Yeah, nothing so far. I posted a link to the Google Hangout on my Twitter account, and we actually had some people joining us on the show watching, and I think one of the listeners actually, or one of the viewers at this point, actually like put, because the Google Hangout, I'm still learning what Google Hangout is. One of the viewers actually joined the Hangout, which is what I wanted to happen. But I was expecting it to be a device just to get to chat. But what I did not realize was that with that link, the link also gives you a chance to video chat with the user in question. You get to video chat with me. Like I can, you can be on TV with me if you wanted to with the show, which is just a trip. So I was watching this guy watching the show, and he was watching me too. Like it was just like an out of body experience. This was during the break, and it was kind of funny. Like I was like, "Whoa, this is weird." It's like, "Whoa, there's one of my fans right there watching the show." Just like, and it's like that's pretty good. But the problem I think is that for people listening, well, it's not going to integrate into Blog Talk Radio, though, because the people on Blog Talk Radio don't hear. Well, they didn't, there's nothing to hear at that point. But if they wanted to join the show to talk, the problem here, and this is something I knew going in, the problem is Blog Talk Radio would not record it because it doesn't get the audio from the video side of things. The video only gets the audio. The video. It's hard to explain this, but the YouTube feed cannot hear. Or the YouTube feed, anything that, if a user were to chat to me through the YouTube, that does not get to Blog Talk Radio. Does that make sense?
You've just lost all your LT56
yeah.
listeners because they okay. don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's all right. Fair enough. But anyway, we're trying to figure out how to get that to work. And I think maybe the one thing we would do is, like, if we do want to have video participation on this program down the road, we could have the show, we could put the show link up and maybe I would run the video through the other laptop and then it would all come through the same channel. It'll have a visually what you're going to see is you're going to see me from a different angle. Like you're not going to see me from this, like you see me right now, if you're watching on YouTube, you will see an image of me from the kitchen, I'm in the kitchen, right? And there's a mirror behind me, and there are blinds to my side. Like there's a window to my side, and then the kitchen wall behind me. So right now the camera is facing the kitchen wall, but the other, if I went through my normal laptop, the second laptop, the camera would actually be facing the other way. It'd be facing the window. So it would just be a different look of what it would be, a different staging or something if we went that way. So anyway, that's a long way of saying that if we did want to do a video chat with someone on the show, it is possible to do. And I can see now that it works. So that's great. That is fantastic. I'm glad that works. So good to know. Good to know. Anyway, that was kind of rambling for no reason. But we can do video chat in the show. We just saw that during the break. So, anyway, all right, I completely lost it. Junkman, anything else on your mind?
I'm just going to warn you that, you know, if our old friend Meredith from San Francisco video chats you, you may want to, I don't know, do one of those not safe for work alerts.
You know what? I think she's on the outs with everybody on the board, so it may not come to that.
It'd be good for ratings, though.
I suppose, but I think, I think there are other ways to go about it. There are other people we could interface with that would get just as good ratings, and I mean, if she, we could try it one day and see what happens, but I don't know. Well, I guess, well, that's a bridge we can cross when we get to it. Whew. I tell you what, Junkie, I don't know what those summers like in Massachusetts, but over here it's been very cool. It's been really good. Like, the summer has been great in California. You wouldn't even believe it. The temperature today, it couldn't have broken 80, and that's unbelievable. That's impossible for August. I'm still surprised. Could you imagine, like, going through an August day and the temperature was 75? I'm looking at it right now. So, the high was 78. 78! I mean, that's very, very mild for summertime. Tomorrow, the high is expected to be 76. And through the weekend, 76, 76, 75. And then Monday again is 76 again. I am so thrilled, like, how good this weather is. And I almost wonder if it's going to come back at us in about a week from now, from when the weather is just brutal. But weather couldn't be better here in California. How's the weather in Massachusetts?
It's very similar. It's been pretty mild.
Really?
Today was hot. But for the most part, I would say the word I would say is comfortable. Granted, as we all know, I'm not outside during the day, but it's not stifling hot like it was last summer. Tonight I'm sitting outside and it's probably 80, but we've always got the little breeze here, so it's very comfortable. It's probably like 78, 80 right now.
That's fantastic. That's really, really cool. So that's great to know that Massachusetts and California are both sharing similarly comfortable weather. I can't believe it.
Don't get me wrong. I have no idea what Massachusetts is doing. We're way out here. I don't consider that us Massachusetts. We're sort of, it's the same thing. I don't consider the Florida Keys part of Florida. We're just out. It's totally separate.
Oh, okay.
So Boston could be 95. Disgusting. I have no idea.
All right. Very well. Good to hear. I guess it makes sense though, because you're by the ocean. You're by the water. Like, when you're by the water, it's a different ball game, and that's true here too.
The ocean's in a mile in one direction, and the bay's in a mile and a half in the other direction. So mm-hmm. There's always a breeze and that kind of stuff. So.
But overall, that just sounds fantastic. I mean, the weather. Couldn't ask for more in August. In August, I mean, if it's April, I'm like, oh,
right.
Man, this
August,
is good.
August 20th, man. We're it's almost over.
Yeah, I'm sad. I love summer. It's really a good time to stretch out and do things. Went to Vegas. Went to New York. Went to San Diego. Went to San Francisco. I mean, I did everything I could ever want to do. It's a big, yeah, it's been a good summer.
Summer of days.
Summer of Dave.
The Summer of Dave.
Yes. I had a lot of fun. So going from that to working, having everybody come back, all the workload, and it's just, it won't be the same. It won't be as fun, but I enjoyed it a lot. It was really good. And I look forward to going back to all those places. Vegas certainly will be on the list. That'll be the easiest one to return to. And I believe we will be back there at some point before the year is over. When are you going to Vegas?
Yeah, I think at some point we were going to do something with Andy and Tony and some sort of November football weekend.
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure they know about it.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's feasible to do this. We'll just have to get in touch with the others and see what's to transpire. Okay, Junkie, since we have the luxury of time, I'm wondering, are there any anything, let's see, no, that's it. I was going to ask if, I was going to try to experiment with some other, lines of text that we could pretend to voice over, but no, I won't waste my time with that. Where have you been over the summertime? Has it just been mostly at the Cape, working, I guess? Have you had the chance to travel even like locally? Like, have you had a chance to travel to any places?
Nope, zero. No traveling. Just work all day. And I'm not complaining.
No, I mean it's the high point of the season for you, right? Like that's the busiest time of the year.
Right now, this is it. This is nonstop from morning to night. The phones, the people coming in, and you also have the. This is the most challenging part of the summer. It's not 4th of July. It's not. It's this part because it's so crazy and so busy. Yet your staff is finished. They're done. They're so tired. They're kids, you know, for the most part.
Right.
They're either going back to college or they don't have a job in a couple of weeks. They've got that sort of kind of far away look in their face. You know, they're trying to keep them focused and smiling and helping customers and stuff. But they're more or less checked out. You know, it's August 20th. They're one of the guys and one of the girls, you know, they've got to go to school. They've got to pack up their stuff in a week. So that becomes the most challenging part as a boss because they are done. I mean, they are just so exhausted because they're, like I said, they're kids. They're 22, 21. So, you know, they've been working hard, you know, to make some money, but they've also been going out, you know, mostly every night because there's a lot of great stuff out here and there's young kids everywhere from all different countries. So they're enjoying their summer, which I wouldn't, you know, I would do the same thing if I was them. So that part, it becomes the most difficult as the person in charge because any sort of stuff, it kind of just falls on you to get it done. So it's pretty tiring. But like I said, I love it. And, you know, it's still fun every day. It's just a little more challenging right now.
Yeah, that's tough because, you know, I can imagine, like, the morale would be just rough because you're thinking, you look around and it's like, oh, my gosh, how can we go on? I can imagine that. I mean, I don't want to sound stupid and say, oh, I can sympathize with that because I've never really worked a restaurant job, but. I know friends who have, and you're one of them certainly, but it just sounds
people don't get it, or people who work for us for the first time for the first summer, they don't understand how intense it is. You know, you can have a busy restaurant, you know, a famous restaurant or a busy restaurant in New York, you know, you're busy all year long. But for here, the spike in business is hard for some people to take the intensity of those 10, 12 weeks. I mean, we've had people in our own company, you know, this summer just literally put their keys down, put their business cards down and just walk out. You know, it's not what they thought it would be. And
wow.
Too much for them to handle. I mean, and I'm talking about pros. I mean, people who come in with resumes, you know, 3 pages long of places they've managed in different cities and different places, but just this sort of vacation town. So you get a lot more needy customers. Not so many of the regulars. But there's really no routine. So I mean, I've seen seasoned pros that you think, oh, this guy's or this girl's is going to be great, and they just, you know. July 20th, August 1st, they just say, I've had it. I've had enough. And they just walk right out.
Gee, can't take it. Wow. I guess, wow. That must be devastating when that happens on their side. I imagine that you're probably used to these kind of defections by now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Must happen. How many times do you think that happens in a summer? Like 3 or 4, 5, 10, 100?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just depends on the size of your company and stuff. I mean, for us out here, it's a pretty large company when you consider the Cape. Most of them are independent businesses and restaurants, but I think we've got we peaked early August at like 270 employees. So That's a lot to handle.
Really? Wow. That actually, that seems like a lot to me. Because I thought that a staff of a restaurant that, let's say that a restaurant that, let's say you can get 300 people in a restaurant, the staff would be about 50. Well, I guess you're catering for all the shifts, right? There's different shifts. Okay, I guess that's about right then. That's about right. I guess those numbers
are right. Yeah. You want to do dinner and that kind of stuff. Prep cooks and...
Yep.
Just, you got to think. I mean, a restaurant in Provincetown, the new one, you know, and they have 3 dishwashers. You know, that's just because it's just constant.
Got it. Totally.
It's not like they're washing it by hand, you know? They got the machines, but it just takes that many people to do it.
No, I mean, I think people take that for granted, like the kind of staff force that you need. They need to get things going. It's an interesting point. Okay, so let's start our random questions tonight. Yeah, and again, it's just not fair that you guys don't get enough rest, because people in this industry are always overworked. That's the part that I really...
Yeah. And being out here, which I've actually been, this summer, a little different. I've actually been enjoying myself a little bit at night and not just going from work to home and work to home. Because you have to, just to get a little break in your routine. But it's hard because, you know, you want to experience and enjoy the beaches and all the great restaurants and the great chefs that come out here in the summer and the great musicians that just show up and small little performing arts centers. So you want to have fun, but it's when you do 14 hours and then you meet your friends at 9:30 at night and hang out all night, and then you got to get up at, you know, 6 or 7 or whatever. It does wear on you, but
mm-hmm.
like I said, it's still fun. I mean, it still beats working for a living. You know, it's work, but it's dealing with people, and you take the crazy needy, unreasonable customers are only going to be in your life for a short amount of time, so you kind of get over it.
No, good. I mean, that's a good attitude, Junkie. Really, that's the kind of attitude that gets you a long, prosperous career anywhere. So that's very cool. Okay, so and how long have you been at Max Seafood now? This is like close to 5 years, I think.
No one's really sure.
Wow.
Our record keeping, it wasn't as good as it is now as it was a while ago, but I had a meeting with the bosses a couple nights ago, and I think I passed 6 years.
Wow. Way to go.
Yeah, only because according to most people who work for us, 7 years is the cutoff point. 7 years is either get out or you're in for life, so they told me I have a year left.
Oh, boy.
To decide.
What are you gonna decide?
Oh, I don't know. We got to talk next year. Next spring, I think I have to have a nice little sit down with all the family and friends, yourself included, and maybe we'll figure something out.
All right, good luck. I hope the choice you make is one that you feel is true to you. And I'm not gonna say which way to go. I mean, that's ultimately your decision. It's really subjective anyway. So I wish you the best. Hopefully, whatever path you take ends up being the prosperous one. So we'll go with that. Okay. Well, why don't you think about that? Let's start with our random questions tonight. Chat room, I'm just going to call them out tonight. What a bunch of deadbeats. The chat room from the last 3 weeks has just been absolutely abysmal. And so I'm not sure whose fault it really is. But in a rare moment of just cutting honesty, I have to say a terrible job out of the chatters tonight. And a terrible job out of just... The whole audience for not showing up to chat anymore. You know, 3 years ago when we started doing these random questions, we had that chat room packed. We would always have questions flowing like water coming out of one of those nice mountain springs. Well, now the questions come out like the frickin' California drought. It's about as good as the aqueducts up north. I mean, come on. We have Twitter to ask the random questions. It just seems like nobody listens to the show live anymore. So I'm going to say this as we seem to do every year now, Junkie. If you don't start asking questions after a little while, we're just going to stop random questions and we'll do something else.
Right. Right. There was a point where you couldn't get to all of them.
Yeah, that man. Those were days gone by, man. Days gone by.
Yeah,
we need...
you had to try to get to them the next week, but then we never could. But yeah, no, it's pretty poor performance.
Yeah. I mean, I have to call it as it is. I see it. Like, I know people are like...
Maybe they're all too busy dumping ice water on their heads.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there. At any rate...
Maybe they're all focused on a bucket of ice on their head.
Yeah. Right. At any rate, let's get to the random questions. And so tonight, in lieu of actual people asking the questions, we have acquired a few questions from CFCL.com. So I will post this. CFCL.com. I'm not familiar with what that site is, but there are a series of questions from there that we will use tonight for random questions, and there are 100 of them. 100 random questions. Now, we have about 53 minutes. Do you think we can get through all 100 questions by the end of the night? That's question number one. She says 101 questions.
Yeah, as long as I don't go on to one of my rambling answers, we can do it.
All right. Well, this is as good a chance to test it as any. Let's start. Question number one. Grab the book nearest to you. Turn to page 18. Do you have a book near you?
No.
You don't have a book? Why don't I get a book? I got a book.
I'm outside. You're going to make me go all the way back into my apartment? I'm outside.
That's all right. That's fine. I always keep a book handy, not for anything. It just happens to be
here. I have books everywhere in my house.
Oh, yeah? But you're outside.
But I can't smoke inside.
Yeah. No problem. I've got a book. This book is called Arise. It's from Clayton and Ellen Kershaw, husband and wife. It comes from my sister's former publishing company.
Clayton Kershaw's written a book?
Yeah. Well, let's do this. It says here, the book nearest to me, turn to page 18. Here we go. This isn't the literal page 18. There's a forward, so this is actually much further. But in book terms, it is page 18. Line 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Stretch out your left arm. Oh, no, that's the next question. Okay. So line 4. You ready for this? Okay.
Yes.
Line 4 is together and collectively change our lives. You don't have to live 90... Let me just finish the sentence anyway. You don't have to live 90 years to feel the weight of these particular moments. How about that? By the way, the chapter is titled, Life is Often Defined by Unexpected Moments. Clayton Kershaw's words. How about that?
How about that?
And he's right, too. I mean, he had the no-hitter earlier this year. No one could have expected that, especially after his teammate already had one just a few weeks prior. It's been a great year for Mr. Kershaw. Wow. Great stuff. Okay. Ready for question 2? Okay. Here it is. Stretch your left arm out as far as you can. What can you touch?
Nothing.
Yeah, you're outside. That's tough. Now, my case is a little better. When I stretch out my left arm, I can touch this glass of Gatorade in my hand, which is currently empty, but I had a glass full of Gatorade. It's empty. I can touch the lamp above me, which lights my face for the show on video. I can touch this foam golf ball, which just happens to be above me. There is an inhaler, which is also within reach of my left arm. A DirecTV remote, which I use to operate the TV in the living room across from me in case I want to check up on things during our podcast. I also have this weird contraption, which happens to be a... It's a little toad and has a stick on it. It's a wooden toad with a stick on it and a ridged back. So a a ridge on the back of the toad. When you rub the stick on the toad, it makes this sound. Can you hear that? Did you hear that? Oh. How's that? Can you hear that?
I hear that. You're rubbing a toad right now?
I'm rubbing a wooden stick on the back of a wooden toad. So that's what that is. I also have this, of all things, a Texas Rangers mini batting helmet. And it was all they had at the Baskin-Robbins years ago. This is back in 2010. And I went to get ice cream, and they were offering them in these baseball mini helmets. And the only ones they had, because they ran out of all the Dodger ones and the Giants and Reds and Cubs and all the rest of them, all they had left were Dodgers, Reds, Cubs, and Astros, whatever. All they had left was the Giants, which I wasn't going to do because I'm not a Giants fan, and the Texas Rangers. So I got the Texas Ranger cap with some ice cream in it, and I kept the cap. Well, it happens to turn out that the Rangers and the Giants both met in the World Series the same year. So that's a cosmic coincidence. Okay, and then there's a few other things that I can reach with my left hand. I can reach this commemorative Angels 50th anniversary cup, which I received at an Angels game once. I also can reach my cell phone, a Samsung Galaxy S4. Beautiful phone, although it's running out of space. It really is. It's like 6 gigabytes of nothing on there. Literally called miscellaneous files. I mean, would they get with a program of that? Gee. And with this, I can also reach my laptop. I can reach a secondary 8 microphone. This is too dangerous. But this microphone right here, the second of the Audio-Technica 2020 microphones, which are used for our broadcast, I can reach the MacBook Pro in front of me, which delivers the video content, the primary laptop, which delivers our audio content, along with the my left hand. I guess I can't do it, but I can reach our mixer, which mixes the content from both the computer and from the rest of our from the desktop computer and the other machines together, so that we have our full audio content. I can reach the monitor above me, which tracks the audio recording of the iTunes podcast, and it also controls actuality, so audio clips and music, we can play it right from that machine. The monitor is connected to the desktop computer. So I'm sorry, that's too wordy. But basically, I can touch my computer monitor, two laptops, a mixer, a cell phone, and a bunch of odds and ends in the little shelf above me. That's basically what I can do with my left arm. What's the most interesting of those things that I have touched? Or none of those?
Definitely the Rangers.
The Rangers?
Only because it's only because it's the Dave Mush scenario.
Yeah.
You picked the helmet and they lost.
They did. They got blown away in that series. That's right. Giants killed them 5 games. I remember that. Edgar Renteria, did I have that right? Or was it Juan Uribe? You know, I'll have to get back to you on that a little later. One of the two hit a big three-run home run to put the Giants ahead and ice that game and the series at Arlington. I remember that well, except I don't remember who it was. So I remember the moment, I just don't remember the guy who did it. All right, next question with Kevin on the Cape, and I am Dave Medina for Random Questions. If you have a question for us to throw in between these 100 random questions, at DitCow. But instead, we'll just go ahead and roll through these. Question number 3. Before you started these questions, what were you doing? Junkie.
I was talking to you.
Yes, that would be correct. I was doing the podcast as well, so very good. Question number 4. What is the last thing you watched on TV?
I don't have a television.
Well, it didn't have to be your own TV. It could be like at a bar or a restaurant or something.
Oh, all right. That's good. I went out a couple nights ago, and the stupid Little League World Series was on.
Little League World Series. Okay. Very good.
Oh, but on the other screen, this is way more memorable. The girl with the 6-foot blonde girl was playing tennis. I can't remember her name. She's gorgeous, though.
Well, there's a lot of those. I don't know. It could
Sharapova.
Be anybody.
Sharapova.
Maria Sharapova. Okay. But she is gorgeous, must say.
I don't know what tournament it was or whatever, but there was she was on one screen and the Dopey Kids were on the other one.
Probably the U.S. Open. That's underway to this week. So from your hometown.
Saturday.
Yeah, from New York. New York City, by way of Queens, good times, Flushing Meadows, all that stuff. Okay, last thing
nothing.
Now, do recorded programs count in this question? The last thing you watched on TV, or no?
Yeah, I think so.
You think they do? But then was I watching it? Because my roommate was watching the BCS National Championship football game from last year on replay on the DVR. And I was just watching that, you know, secondhand as I was preparing the show. So that would be the...
What? He was watching the BCS replay?
Yeah, because it was like...
Why?
Well, because it was a great game, for one, and it was it decided the championship last year. And secondly... Because he was going to record the end of it to a DVD. So that was the purpose behind that. In terms of what I've watched live, the last thing I watched live was America's Got Talent. That was last night on NBC. All right. Question 5. All right. Okay, Junkie, here's a good one for you. Question number 5. Without looking, can you guess what time it is? Guess what time it is.
11:21.
Very close. Very, very close. That's pretty good. It is 11:18 Eastern time. So you were off.
Damn it.
It's really good. Only off by 3.
That's that's the problem. I'm always 3 minutes ahead of everybody.
I like it. That's good. I like that. That's funny. That's pretty awesome. Okay. So next question, number 6. Question 6. Now, we already did this. Now look at the clock. What is the actual time? We did that. So next question. Question number 7. With the exception of the computer, what can you hear? I think it's a question more for me. Well, I can hear your voice. But that's probably not what they're going after. Let's see if I take my headphones off. Let's look. Listen. I hear murmurs. I think somebody's watching TV. That's about it. That's all I can hear. Not much going on. What else can you hear outside? You're outside, so what other things are you hearing?
Actually, right now, it's really dry, except for those little, you know, not crickets, but they're just like the little peeps, you know, the little, like, lake insects that you hear in the distance. I don't really know what the hell they are. They're not definitely not crickets. They're just sort of the sounds of the lake, you know, being a little further away. But besides that, nothing. It's really quiet, actually, here, surprisingly.
Okay.
For August.
Not bad. I mean, a quiet night is...
No parties, no fireworks for a change, you know.
That's good to know. That is. Okay, so we move on to question number 8. And this is not a relevant question in your case. The question is, when did you last step outside? Well, you're outside now, so the answer is right now. And
excellent.
So let me answer that in my case. When did I last step outside, and what was I doing? I last stepped outside about 3 hours ago, and I went to Menchie's, and I was in the mood for some frozen yogurt. But this time around, I ended up getting primarily sorbet, with the exception of one small serving of lemon meringue yogurt and one small serving of the original tart. Altogether, it was like 4 flavors. I did not put any toppings on it, but I did add a piece of waffle cone to it, and it was good. It was really good. It was really nice and fresh. And so when it's nice and fresh, it's very thick. And it tastes tremendous, so it was really good. So that's what I did. Went to Menchie's. Okay, next question. Number 9. Did you dream last night, Kevin, on the Cape?
I did not. Sad to report. Usually I do dream, and I usually enjoy and love my dreams, but it's been one of those really short, you know, five-hour sleeps lately, 4 or 5 hours. So I did not dream, so I can't report anything good on that one.
No, it's no dreams, no sleep. Wow, that's not good either.
No, normally I have really cool dreams or interesting dreams, but not last night.
Gosh, that's really too bad. Yeah, that sucks. Hopefully that improves. I have not had a dream in recent memory. I just go to sleep and then all of a sudden it's the next morning. So I have not had any dream of any kind, and I thought I for sure would have one by now. I've had all sorts of weird ideas in my head. Not so. They say that when you eat salsa or spicy food, it yields a really... What is it? They say that it gives you nightmares or something like that. Well, in my case, it gives me exciting dreams, like action dreams. Like it's like an action movie. So I love that. But I haven't really had spicy food. I did have a little bit of spicy food yesterday, but today, no. So I have had no dreams the whole week. That's funny. Okay, next question. Random questions with Kevin on the Cape and CFCL.com. Question number 10. Do you remember your dreams? It depends on how weird they or how memorable they are. Most of them, I just forget them after a day. But there are some that are hard to shake. Kevin, how does that play out in your case? Do you remember dreams after the fact?
I remember them the next day or that. But there are very few that I remember, you know, years from now. I can only come up with a handful that I remember long term. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember them the next day usually.
That's cool. Okay. So
you know, especially the memorable ones or exciting ones I definitely remember them as far as though, like you said, long term, you know, there's only a couple that stick out.
Right. Because, again, it's such a cycle. Like, you go through the rest of your day, and then other things happen that seem to stick out in your memory more, and the dreams tend to fall.
Yeah, I used to have a girlfriend who mm-hmm. was big into the whole, she had, like, the dream books, and she'd want to interpret the dreams and stuff. I would humor her and tell her about it, and then she'd look them up in the book and stuff. That was a long time ago, but I never... and overanalyzed them too much. There was a couple that I thought were pretty significant, but for the most part, they just kind of take them for what they are and move on.
Yeah, I mean, there's two trains of thought with that. There's some dreams that I always feel like sometimes they're like omens, or it's like my own life predicting the future. And I always get the sense like when something happens and I feel like, wait a minute, I dreamt about this a long time ago. And that really makes me, that really scares me because I'm like, are my dreams actually?
Yeah,
like...
you don't want. No, I know what you don't want to dismiss it either because I mean it is your brain and you know it's working while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's reasons that these things crop up in your dreams. I mean, they always say, you know, brain actually works harder when you're sleeping than it does when you're awake. At least
right.
I've heard. I think I read that somewhere. I can't remember. Maybe not work hard. Maybe you use more of it when you're sleeping. Something like that.
Right.
I'm probably just, you know, I'm sure there's a neurosurgeon out there that would call me an idiot. But, well, then again, I am an idiot compared to a neurosurgeon. But, you don't want to completely dismiss them. But, you know, you also don't want to obsess over them.
You don't want to overthink it. Often what ends up happening is that they are composed of things that you already know. They never often reveal things that you did not previously know. So, like, for example, if you have a dream about going to Disneyland, you're talking about how you're about to enter Disneyland. Let's say you've never been there before. You don't actually get to see what it looks like. I always notice that when you get to the point when you're actually going to enter a place that you think that you've never been before, and like, oh, I'm finally going to see it, that's when you wake up. So that's proof positive to me that dreams are merely comprised of things that you've been thinking of in the past.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
It's very funny. Like you think, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a date with so-and-so, and then it doesn't happen. Oh, man. Okay, next question. Number 11. When did you last laugh? Hey, do you know the answer to that one?
When did I last laugh?
When did I last laugh?
Probably like 5 seconds ago.
Exactly. It was like 30 seconds ago. I just laughed right before the question. So when did you last laugh?
I have no idea. I'm not much of a laugher. But you mean like an outside, like belly laugh? I mean, I'm sure I've grinned and thought something was funny.
Right.
But
even a chuckle will count, by the way. Chuckles qualify.
Yeah, I can't think of the most recent time. I'm not much of a laugher.
All right. Next question. Let's see. And the question is a follow-up. Do you remember why and at what? And I was laughing because of the prospect that something really, really great and even romantic could have been happening, and then it didn't because I wake right up before something good happens. That's why I laughed. Okay, question 13. Question number 13. What is on the walls of the room you're in? This is stupid. You're not in a room. So that question is rendered null and void. For me, what is on the walls? Not much. This mirror you see right here on the video is behind me, if you're not watching tonight on TV. But if you're looking, if you're listening only, there is a mirror behind me on the kitchen wall in which I sit. In the kitchen wall? In the kitchen in which I sit doing this podcast. That is the only thing on the wall right now. Okay, that's it. So question 14, here we go. Have you seen anything weird lately, Kevin?
Yeah, I see weird things all the time.
Okay, anything that comes to mind?
I'm pretty sure today I saw the best looking borderline beautiful man / woman that I've ever seen. I wasn't sure if it was a guy or a girl.
Right.
Whichever. Or it was trans. This was a 6 foot tall. I have to think this person was born a man and has taken the necessary steps to become a woman. Just because of the voice and the neck structure of this person. But this person was very, 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 very attractive. But left you very confused. You know, just a customer just came in, never saw them before. You're waiting on them, and they're like, well, I think this was a guy, but is now a woman, and it was interesting. But totally gorgeous. Like I'm sitting there going, I don't know how I feel about this, but you are a beautiful looking person. So good for you.
Wow. That's that lives up to the question. Oh man, have I seen anything weird lately? Let me think about this. I said lately, how lately? Let me think.
Then I did see today. I did see a dog in traffic who was basically leaning out the window, looked like a human, like with their arm outside the door. It looked like a person.
Oh, wow.
A really hairy person. No,
it's kind of funny. That is funny.
Yeah, not like they're dopey, just head trying to like smell stuff and like get some air. It was basically in the passenger side with their arm out the door, like a regular guy would.
Boy, that dog is really a man's best friend and almost like art imitates life, right? Neat. Okay. Have I seen anything weird lately? No, I really haven't. Although there was a very, very unusual ruling today by MLB that actually upheld a challenge and protest from the San Francisco Giants because of the challenge being upheld, they will actually finish the game that was previously suspended and called yesterday tomorrow. So big news for the Giants, and that's good because they got a raw deal otherwise, and it's good to see that corrected. That was it. I haven't seen anything weird. All right. Here's the next question on Random Questions from CFCL.com. What is the last film you saw? All right, Kevin, I know now, I don't know. That, this doesn't mean at the theater per se, like anywhere, like on TV or on DVD or anything. What is the last film that you saw?
The last movie I watched was... Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is bad. This is... Dave, this is scary. I can't even think of something. I don't watch movies. It's probably some Humphrey Bogart movie, you know, that I watched last year, like on Netflix or something.
Okay. Fair enough. And he's had many good ones, so very good. Okay. Next question. From our random question sheet at cfcl.com. Oh, I didn't answer the question. Oops. Last film I saw was Guardians of the Galaxy. New movie. Good movie. Okay, next question. If you could live anywhere in the world, I think we've asked this question before, but let's ask it again. If you could live anywhere in the world, anywhere you want, where would you want to live?
You can pick any one of your random Caribbean islands, and I just want to call it a day. Just give me a little bar, restaurant, hotel to manage, and somewhere down there in St. Thomas or Aruba, pick one. I don't care. You can pick New York City and Paris and something exciting, but I've seen it all, and I've seen enough, and I just prefer to just go down and do the whole siesta thing and work hard at my little, you know, tiki bar and then just hang out at night. That's where I want to be.
I always fashioned you as an island guy. I hope that happens for you someday. Perhaps it will.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Where would I live? I don't think I'd really... If I could... You know, that's a decent question because, like, I don't know. I'd have to get around to really know where would I live. I mean... I honestly have no idea. Closest I'd come up with is probably Santa Barbara, but that'd be kind of isolated, so I'm not really sure. I mean, I wouldn't mind just living here the rest of my life, in Santa Monica. It'd be all right. Assuming that I could still, you know, I had a really nice place and had ample income, that would be really great.
Yeah, it's all what's important to you. Some people want to, you know, live near their favorite teams or live near their friends or their family. But yeah, it's all what's important to you.
Yeah. And this does all of that. Like I'm still close to my family, relative to a lot of people. I'm only an hour away. I'm 10 minutes away from sports and just about everything I ever need. It's pretty convenient to live here in Santa Monica. I like it. I don't know how long it'll last because money can only go so far. But hopefully a while. So that's, I think I'm fine with just living here as long as I need to. That's the idea. I mean, San Diego, yeah, that's about it. Would you be all right living in Santa Monica for the rest of your life, Junkie?
No.
Oh, but I'd be around. Come on. You wouldn't want to be around with me? No?
For the rest of my life?
Okay. No. All right. It's not like you have to stay there. We can move around. I'm just saying, like, your residence would be there. Okay, well, fair enough. Okay, next question. Here we are. If you could see this question,
Hold on.
Okay.
Dave, the only reason is that because if I lived anywhere near you, I would become 500 pounds with the amount of stuff you eat. I'd have a heart attack and a stroke, block arteries within 2 years.
You raise a good point.
I cannot keep up. Because I can't do the swimming and the exercise that you do.
Okay.
So if I did that sort of eating schedule, I would have, I'd be dead. You'd kill me before I'm 40.
Well, I don't want to do that. You raise a good point. Okay. I think exactly. That's duly noted. All right. Very good. Next question in random questions tonight. This is Kevin on the Cape you're speaking to, and I'm Dave Medina taking you, and we will take you through the next half hour, rounding out our program. Accurately, we're talking about 23 minutes remaining, but we hope that you'll stay with us through those 23 minutes as we continue to answer the world's questions. Here we are. Next is question number 18. And it's disappointing to me because this question gets asked so many times and it gets a little trite after a while, but here we are. But here it is anyway. If you became a multimillionaire overnight, what would you buy? I think we even asked this question once, but feel free to respond.
The first thing I would buy would be a new car. That's going to sound lame. Well, my little old car is struggling these days. Wouldn't be anything fancy, just some sort of like Land Rover or something cool that is durable. But, yeah, I love my little old car, but he's kind of struggling. So I'd probably just buy a new car so I can get around and throw all the money at people.
Yeah, you're not going to believe it, but that's exactly what I would do. The first thing I would buy is a new car, right off the bat. I'm like, I love my car. It's very reliable. It's wonderful to me, but it's seen better days, and I say, let's get another car. Just a basic car.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, if you don't, you're in your car, you know, especially you in L.A. or guys in New York and stuff, you know, you're the commuting guys. You're in their car so many hours of every day. You're in your car sometimes longer than your home, you know, so that makes perfect sense.
It's the best. And some people actually, that's actually very quite right what you say. People travel a lot in their car, so it's a good statement. All right, next question. That's a good question. It winds up being a good question. Next question, random questions. If you could change one thing about the world, regardless of guilt or politics, what would you do? And I don't know what they mean, if they mean like if you could actually just have it change or whether you have to actually change it within the parameters of your own abilities and the natures of physics as we know it today here on planet Earth. But with all that in mind, what would you change about the world if there's one thing you could change?
One thing. I only get one thing. The whole world. I think this will have long-lasting positive effects throughout the years. I'm not thinking short-term. Thinking long term, in it for the long haul. So I think I would change. This is sort of widespread, but if you could flip a switch and no children would be born with birth defects, you know, autism, those kind of things. So everyone was kind of even. At the start, instead of starting from behind, you know, in so many circumstances, that maybe I know that, you know, people can learn a lot, and you learn a lot about like disease and people. Things eventually can get fixed or get better, but I think if all kids got at least like a proper right start out of the gate, you know. That would make me feel a little better instead of having a struggle from day one.
That's fantastic. That is such a moving such a moving idea. Great idea. That's fantastic. Great, just great job coming up with that. That's brilliant. Really touching, Junkman. I love it. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. That's really cool. Okay, so now I got to answer the question. Let's see. If I could change one thing about the world.
You want the Dave Dog, just say it.
Yeah, Dave Dog. My answer was going to be add more peaches to everything. Make the peaches ripe year round. But I think we can certainly throw the Dave Dog in that tabulation. Let's just make peaches a big part of every food. The Dave Dog will make its debut, and it will change
peaches to everyone.
I love it. It'll change
you're right, Dave, though. If everyone had a peach every day, it'd probably be a nicer world.
I think so. If they were, they'd be cheaper, too. That's the nice thing about it. All right. Yep, and that's the last time you laughed, too. How about that?
That was it right there. Holy cow. I laughed for 3 seconds. That was great.
Yep, just now, right here at 11:42 p.m. Eastern Time, our friend the Junkman just laughed. It's a good thing. Peaches really do make everybody happier. Look at that. Okay, next question. Do you like to dance? Yes. Oh, yes, I do. I do like to dance. I'm a big fan of dancing. Do you like to dance, Junkie?
I do not like to dance. Oh. I will never dance. dancing, it will never happen. Never really happened.
All right, well... It's too well. That's a good answer to the question, because it is definitive. So next question, question 22, in random questions tonight from CFCL. Does your name make any interesting anagrams? I skipped a question. Excuse me. 22 is, would you ever consider living abroad? We already did this question, and you said no. Do I recall that correctly?
I don't think so. I would certainly live abroad.
Wait, you would live abroad. But you said, like, one time, like, you wanted to go to France, and then you said you wouldn't do it or something like that. So, but you said you'd do it for, like, a year then? What was it? What was the stipulation then?
Are you sure that was me? I don't remember this.
No? Okay, fair enough. Okay, so would you consider living abroad? It did not define the time period,
yeah.
So it is not a specific amount of time.
Definitely, yes.
All right. Let me see that question for myself. Would I consider living abroad? I'd consider it. I don't know if I'd do it, though. But I'd consider it. Depends on where. Okay, next question. Does your name make any interesting anagrams? Which means when you mix the letters around, do they create other names? Well, your name is Kevin.
I don't think so, off the top of my head. You got the E in there, and that goes
right.
in a lot of different words. But I don't think so. I really can't think of something that those five letters make.
I mean, I was thinking K-Vine, but it's the closest I can come up with. Or.
Right.
Or Nivik. Or Nike V. Nike V.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're words.
They're not real words. Now, Dave.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with Dave. David, maybe. But we have Vida. Vidad.
You and I have some pretty boring first names.
Yeah, there's not much you can do with those names. All right, next question. We are now up to question number 24. Who made the last incoming call on your phone? This is a tough question because I don't get a lot of phone calls. What was the last incoming phone call on your phone?
Oh, like the cell phone? Cause
cell phone.
Can't work because that's like 1,000.
Right, exactly. I think they meant your cell phone, yeah.
Same. I'm with you. I don't get a lot of... This is like the no phone call generation. It's all text messages and emails and stuff. My last phone call was probably, that's an easy one. We lost all of our phone, internet, our POS, you know, register system at work on Monday. Today's Wednesday. Monday afternoon. So I was back and forth on the phone with like the bosses, people, and IT people. So I think the last person to call my cell phone was the guy trying to fix our systems at work. Because the phone, our work phones didn't work.
Pretty cool.
I was actually getting to the point of complete stress and mayhem that I was going to call you to see if you could fix it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, so they did fix it or they didn't fix it. I wasn't keeping fully track of the whole thing. So you got the phone call, right? Did they arrive at a reasonable hour?
No, they didn't arrive at all. They just walked them. They had to walk me through how to fix it. They weren't on site, so I had to do a whole bunch of stuff to the system so then they could remotely access it. That kind of thing. I'm sure you're
Remote access. Okay, I'm certainly familiar with that. That's cool.
But at one point the system was so shot they couldn't even get remote access. So I had to kind of rebuild the system to the point where they could at least get through remote access.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Most people probably won't, but you would know what that means. And then they could take it from there. So then it got fixed. But
I gotcha.
Not without 3 or 4 hours in the store with, you know, basically using old school calculator, just cash from the safe method of making change because the whole machine didn't work.
Man, that just sounds like a fun time.
Right. Oh, yeah. Line out the door. You know, people are just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You don't take credit cards? And I'm like, well, we do, but just not right now. You know, just bear with me. I'm trying to figure this out.
Absolutely. Okay, so the last phone call that I got was from a restaurant to confirm a reservation. It's a boring answer. Okay, next question. All right. Question 25. What is the last thing you downloaded onto your computer? You don't have a computer, so I'll go with iPad in your case, your iPad mini. What is the last thing you downloaded?
I don't download anything on my iPad. I barely use that thing. I don't download anything. I don't want to wreck it.
If you open a PDF file, that counts. If you open a music file, I think that counts too because you have to download it.
If I open a PDF file, then that's like every night because I get all our. This is such a boring answer for the world, but you know I get all the reports from our other locations and you know the sales reports and the item sales and inventory stuff, and those are all in PDF. So I download. Technically, I guess I download 8 or 10 of those a night just to do the ordering for the stores for the next day. But that's just pathetically boring.
So PDF reports, last thing that went on his iPad. Very cool. Last thing I downloaded onto my computer was the royalty-free music files, which you just heard earlier in the show. So I grabbed a few of those and downloaded that onto the computer. Last thing I downloaded. Okay. Next question. Last time you swam in a pool, that's a layup. That was this afternoon. I did that for lunch. When was the last time
you...
I felt good, too. It was a good swim. It was a really nice swim. Been really going after it. I've been going a little harder than before. So, yeah, usually, swim like 1,000 yards, which is the equivalent of one length of the pool, right? So to do 1,000 for a 25-yard pool, which is the typical size of a pool, it's like about 25 yards... You know, it's like a square kind of a pool. That would be the equivalent, since the four of them make 100 yards. You have to divide 1,000 by four. So that, most lunch swims, I only can get in 1,000. So that's four times what, 250? So 250 lengths of the pool to get 1,000. Do I have that right? Or maybe it's 25, because 4 make 100, right? It is 25. I'm an idiot.
Right.
But anyway, I'm so bad at this. But anyway, the point is, I went from 1,000 to 1,700 today. I had a little extra time, and I went after it. And I really feel like I've been getting better at getting in more yardage for the same amount of time lately. That's good, because I think it means I'm getting faster. So I felt good today. I felt like I was getting a very efficient swim, and it was a good swim. So that is that. Now, Junkie, when was the last time you swam in a pool?
Now, what's funny about these questions is it makes you think of certain things that you haven't thought about for a long time. And I know exactly the last time I was in a pool. And it was like 3 years ago.
Nice.
And my girlfriend at the time, we had some huge fight. So we were living together. And
I didn't know this. Is that true?
It was August or July. It was one of the times where work was crazy. And
right.
It was one of those things where I got to get out of here and it's just not going to work. So I got a hotel near work, you know. We got thousands of hotels here, out here. And like a couple days after, she has a son. So he was 2 or 2.5 or something at the time. And she's like, he really wants to see you and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We were still nowhere close to working out our things, but
wow.
I'm like, yeah, I have tomorrow off. I'm like, I'm staying at this place. Just come over and I'll spend the day with him. And she looked, you know, I'm like, there's a pool here. There's a pizza place across the, you know, we'll have a good time. You know, you go to work. I put those little swimmy things on his arms, you know, that little kids have so they don't drown.
Yep, yep, yep.
And so I'm in the pool, and he's on the side. He's scared. I'm like, well, I just jump in. I'm like, you'll be fine. And I don't think I inflated them enough because he jumped in the pool and sunk like a stone.
Ooh.
Like he just went straight down to the bottom. And, of course, you know, it's you know, 3 feet of water. So I obviously didn't lose sight of him. So I went and just grabbed him by his shorts and brought him up. And he was all kind of nervous. And I look at him like, don't tell your mother.
Yeah.
And then I inflated them properly. And then she came by to pick them up, and we were back in the pool having a blast. And I you know, I haven't seen them in a while, but I'm sure it's a story I'll tell him when he's older. He has probably no memory of it, but it was funny because it scared me for a second. You know, you're like, holy crap. And then, you know, I was there. Fished him out of the ground, out of the bottom, because he doesn't know how to swim. He was only 2 or 3. But thinking about that story and having that whole day with him, it was kind of cool. And that was the last time I was in a swimming pool.
Wow. It's a great story, though. I'm glad her son did not drown. That's tantamount to anything else. But the rest of that's pretty funny. Oh, that's good. That is good, Junkie. Well, boy, that's great. So that just a few years ago, that's not that bad. Some people probably don't swim much, right? It's not that it's not a shock when people say, oh, I've gone like 5 years out swimming in a pool. Like, not surprising because not everybody swims regularly.
Yeah. I mean, some people don't have access to that kind of stuff, but yeah, it's not surprising.
Yeah. Pretty good. Oh, all right. Well, that's all the time we've got tonight. We've done 26 of these 100 random questions. Junkman, my plan is to go back to this list again, and we'll do the rest of them as we go along. So I am not even going to pretend to – I am not even going to attempt to ask for people to ask random questions from this point forward. And if they do, that's good. But if they don't, they probably won't. So we'll just continue from this list. So we'll pick it up next week. Same time, same place. It was almost the same time. We'll be here at 11 like normal. Same place. And we will do it again, cfcl.com, and we'll continue with question number 27. And it's a good one. That's why I'm saving it for next week, because it's a question that needs...
Ooh, nice. Like a little teaser.
It's a good one.
In the radio world.
So you'll love it. All right. So till then, I think it's time to close up shop. Junkie, thanks again. I really appreciate your contributions. I hope you enjoy this great weather out here, out where you are too. It should be a lot of fun. And, well, I think that's about it. Any final words before we depart for the night?
Question number 27 will not be who is sexting IT guy.
No. No, it will not. And that is a good thing. So, all right, Junkman, thanks again. Have a great night and have a wonderful weekend. Be safe out there.
You too, brother. Take care.
All right, man. That's Kevin on the Cape, and that is our program tonight. Thanks so much to Kevin for coming on the program. Been a lot of fun. And if you listen either live or after the fact, thanks very much for being a part of our show. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week. But till then, we'll see you next time.